So welcome to St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. Now, what does it actually mean to be a Catholic Church? Catholic means universal. Universal means everyone. Everyone is included. So it dates back to St. Cyril of Jerusalem in the early 2nd century. It was the first recorded use of this term, Catholic. And I guess it was very different from the Jewish community, which was ethnically, geographically focused on one particular community. You have people like Isaiah who are predicting and prophesying that there will come a time when the borders of Jerusalem, the borders of Judaism, will extend beyond just one people and one nation. But that didn't really happen in the 1,000 years of that first temple, second temple period. But once Christianity came onto the scene, people began to move beyond just the boundaries of one ethnic group. And so the church began to include people from other nations, other people, people like us, people that weren't in that original family. And so this invitation began to spread, and people began to be attracted to the message of Jesus. And so Cyril realized that this church was no longer bounded by one particular kind of people. It was indeed a Catholic church. It was a universal church. But for us, I think there is this continuing kind of sense, well, we're okay being part of the Catholic Church, but do we actually make others welcome? Do we actually allow others to have space and room at the table? It was a question that Pope Francis kind of faced when at World Youth Day 2 weeks ago, at the opening mass on the Thursday night when the pilgrims are all welcomed together for the official start of the World Youth Day pilgrimage. Pope Francis threw aside his prepared homily for the occasion, and he spoke to the young people, you know, inviting them, reminding them that everybody is included in this Catholic Church. And he got the young people to cry out, you know, who is included? Everyone. And in Spanish, it's todos, todos, todos. Everyone is included. Everyone is welcome. But as I said, that wasn't something that was very Jewish in its outlook, very Jewish in its kind of experience. So even though Isaiah makes that declaration, that there will come a time when it's not just the Jewish people, people who are part of that covenant family, who will be able to come to the temple, come and worship, that foreigners too will be welcome. And he just simply says, as long as they keep the Sabbath, as long as they follow the basic teachings and rules of the Jewish community, they will be welcome to this temple, to be a place where all can pray. It'll be a house of prayer. But again, that's a challenging place to find ourselves. Well, what is the criteria? What does it mean to be part of this family? And it seems it's something that Jesus himself is struggling with. In the few passages before we have our gospel today, he's having these confrontations, as he often does, with the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees and the scribes. And they're saying to him, you know, your disciples aren't doing the right thing because they're not keeping the Sabbath. So this very rule that Isaiah sets as being necessary for membership. And Jesus is getting really frustrated with these people, and there's all this exchange and dialogue that's taking place. And it seems that one of the reasons he's leaving from this Jewish area to go to a pagan area is just to get away from all of those narrow-minded people, who these boundary-set people, people who say, no, there's only one way to be Jewish, one way to be part of the family of God's people. And then what happens? He's confronted once again by this woman, an outsider, a foreigner, someone who is completely outside of the Jewish community. This Canaanite woman, one of the traditional enemies of the Jewish people, cries out to him and calls out for mercy. And we want Jesus to respond to her. We want Jesus to be the good guy. But he's not. he's being kind of weird in this gospel, and we have to kind of admit that, that it's a strange, frustrating sort of gospel to read, because, you know, it's really lovely when Jesus comes straight to the rescue. We just as we cry out with our prayers and we want Jesus to answer them straight away. But first, what does he do? He just ignores her. He's just silent. It says nothing. He says not a word to her. And it's only the disciples who just seem to be frustrated and just want Jesus to do something. Wave your magic wand. Shut this woman up. That seems to be the disciples. And I think sometimes we get that. We feel the same frustration when, you know, someone at the front of the church just keeps on talking and it's like, oh, will you just shut up, Father? And all of those kinds of experiences are there in that. And then there's this exchange as she just comes and she falls at the feet of Jesus and just cries out, have pity on me. And even then, he doesn't respond straight away with a gesture of kindness, a gesture of mercy. What does he say? No, you know, it's not appropriate to give food to the dogs, to feed the dogs the food for the children. And we don't know whether he's got a smile on his face when he says this. We don't know whether he's just having a bad day. And in some ways, it's kind of nice that Jesus can kind of have a bad day. It kind of takes the pressure off ourselves to be perfect at every stage of our lives. But in this process, in this moment, he's just there. And he makes this awful insult to this woman, comparing her to a dog. And yet, she's able to respond. And yet, she's able to make that great rejoinder, to come back to him and say, yes, but even the dogs are able to eat the scraps that fall from the children's table. And in that moment, of course, his heart is melted. Or again, we have to kind of project onto this gospel, because it doesn't answer the questions that we have, which is so often the case with the Gospels. When you read them closely, when you study them and pray with them, you're often left kind of begging the question, what is actually going on in this scene? And I think they're designed to be like that. You know, they don't answer all of the questions that we might have. We should have these questions. It's good to struggle with these texts. It's good to really grapple. What is going on? What else might be kind of happening? And then Jesus responds to her by healing her daughter, providing relief to in that situation. And then, remember last week when Peter is there on the lake and he's walking on the water and doing this extraordinary thing, but then his eyes drift off Jesus and he begins to sink and he cries out to Jesus. What does Jesus say to him? Man, you have such little faith. And it's interesting that we then see the contrast today. From Peter's little faith last week, Jesus says to this woman, you have great faith. And it's this foreigner, this pagan, this woman that is addressed in this way, in comparison, in contrast to Peter's little faith, the eventual leader of the Catholic Church. And now this woman, this outsider, becomes the model of what it means to have great faith. Sometimes we need to have our eyes open. Sometimes we need to see and look at those situations where we prevent people from being part of our community, where we're not welcoming, where we're not encouraging, where we're not allowing the todos of all people, everyone, to be part of our church, where we exclude and say, no, you're not welcome here. Often not explicitly, but just in our attitudes and the way that we are. This woman teaches us that the way of God, the way of faith, sometimes needs to challenge God. Sometimes the woman's faith is necessary to make Jesus rethink what are the boundaries, what are the limits of this community. And eventually, of course, it will spread and it will be able to include people like us, people that were not welcome at that time, but now we embrace the gift of God. Let's allow the Lord to challenge us and to see who are the people that we continue to exclude, and who are those women of great faith that might need to challenge us and call us into a new direction and a new focus to allow everyone, to allow the church to truly be the Catholic Universal Church that it was called and created to be.